Psalm chapter 42 this morning. If you feel like standing with me, you can. We're going to read verses 1 through verse 11 out of respect for the Word of God. I preached out of Psalm 42, and you've heard me probably preach a message out of Psalm 42 on the thought, "Where is thy God?" I preached that, but this is another message that God had given me recently, and I want to share that with you this morning. David said in verse number 1, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continue saying to me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, and with a voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept holy day. And why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and from Hermonites, and from the hill Mizgar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All the waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. In the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why hast thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." May the Lord add his blessings. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day again. Thank you, Lord, for this time we can be together. And I pray, Lord, it not be in vain. Lord, there's folk here today that need this message. Lord Jesus, I need this message today. Help us to be reminded of the great truths that we find here in the Word of God. Bless us together, we pray. I pray that you meet every need here today. And Lord, if there is someone here that doesn't know Christ, may the Holy Ghost of God have his free reign and right away. For we pray in Jesus' name, and for his sake we ask it. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Hold your Bible open, please, into Psalm chapter number 42. Now, Psalm 42, David is writing here, and David is depressed. David's discouraged in Psalm chapter 42. You see, David been having some trouble with his wife. David been having trouble with his children. He had domestic trouble. He had trouble in the kingdom. He had trouble on every side of him. And his enemies came to David and said, "David, you say you believe in God. Well, then, David, if you believe in God, why are you having all these troubles? David, if you believe in God, then where is he when you need him?" I don't know about you. Have you ever asked that question? Lord, if I'm your servant and if I'm your child and all these troubles fall upon me, Lord, where are you? And David here in Psalm 42 is trying to just remind himself that God still is in control. For he noticed some things here. He said when in verse number 3, first of all, he said, "I've been crying. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continue to say to me, Where is thy God?" Can you imagine that when you're down and out and depressed and discouraged and you're weeping and you're crying? And I mean, listen, with friends like that, you don't need enemies. And they come to me and say, "David, where's your God at? David, you're the one that said God is so real and God is so good and God is so powerful. And David, where is he that you say that God exists?" David tried to encourage himself a little bit and read on. He said in verse number 5, he says to himself, I believe, he says, "Why art thou cast down?" Yeah, he's talking to himself, I believe. He says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted?" And he says, he's trying to encourage himself a little bit, and he says, "Hope thou in God," and put your hope in him. But then David, he's like riding a roller coaster. He's up and he's down a little bit. And he said, verse 6, "Oh my God, my soul's cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land." He said, "I remember what you did for me in the past." And by the way, we need to keep a journal. It's good for us when God answers a prayer. Write it down, because we are prone to forget. When God does something in your life and God answers a prayer and God saves somebody and God moves upon you, write it down and remember that. David said, I remember some of those things. And then he goes on to say, look in verses 8 and following. He said, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. I know God is good. I know God will command his love to me. But he said, right now I'm in a bad place. I'm down. I'm out. I'm just about ready to throw the towel in. I'm discouraged. Verse number 9, he said, I'm trying with all my might. I'm trying to encourage myself. I'm trying to lift myself up. He said, I'll say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? That's kind of like an oxymoron, where you say one thing and it really is contrary. He said, I'll say to God my rock, you forgot me. Lord, you turned my back on me. And then he goes on to say in verse number 10, as with a sword in my bones. He said, man, it pierces deep. Don't raise your hand, but how many times have somebody said something to you and it is cut? I mean, son, it is cut all the way down to the bone, it seems like. It has pierced you, and the comment somebody has made, somebody has said something unkind, and you may have been the innocent party, and they have pierced you all the way down to the bone. I had a phone call this week from someone, and they said, preacher, could you recommend a church? And they went through and told me what was going on. And because of words and hurt, now they're looking for another church. They were the innocent party. But here's what I want you to see out of all these verses. Look in verse number 1. And I would say that how many of you in here, I know Richard is a big deer hunter, and I know Keith deer hunts, and I know Melody deer hunts. But how many deer hunters do we have here this morning? Would you lift your hand up? There, Matthew back yonder. Yeah, okay. Really, if you're a deer hunter, I mean, I don't know if you're good or not. Lift your hand up. I want to see how many deer hunters we got. All right. You'll appreciate this message this morning. Look in verse number 1. I used to read this verse and I just skim over and go my way. The verse in verse number 1 says, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Now the word hart in Psalm 42 verse 1 is the word deer. In fact, it is a trophy buck, by the way. It is a deer that is at least 5 years of age. By the way, I didn't know this till I did a little study on it. When the Word of God refers to a hart, he's referring to a male deer. When it refers to a hind, H-I-N-D, it's referring to a female, or a doe, as we would call it today. So he's talking here in verse number 1 about a huge trophy buck. And this deer, I could imagine in my mind, it would be something that every deer hunter in this room could only dream about. I mean, it'd be one of those kind that you'd walk in and people would go, wow, look at the antlers on that boy. I tell you what, how much do you weigh? I mean, and it's bragging rights. Well, this deer, David, I believe, as a shepherd, perhaps he began to think back in his mind about some of the experiences he'd had while he was out tending the sheep. And I could just almost envision in my mind what David is seeing as perhaps he's writing this. And this is what he says, as the deer, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee. Now, I used to read that and think, well, he's talking about a deer going down to the edge of the water and he's thirsty and just bending over and getting a drink of water. But that's not what it means. In fact, what this means is, in verse number 1, he's referring to a trophy buck, a trophy deer. And if you could imagine, the hunters are after this trophy deer. Now, in olden days, the way that they did it, and I used to deer hunt some of my daddy, and I know a little bit of experience. One thing I used to hate, I just be honest with you, daddy, we get up before daylight, drive out in the middle of the woods somewhere, walk down through the woods with a flashlight, and then he'd say, sit here. And I'd sit down on the cold ground and wait. until, can I just, you know, you kind of get the mental picture, until you're cemented to the ground, so to speak, and you're so cold by that time that if something did come by you, you couldn't move. You're just frozen. I used to hate that. Now, some of you may love it, but I hated it. But then I remember Daddy would say, now we're going to do something different. We're going to go down to Stem or Butner. And down there, they run dogs. Oh. And we'd get out and we'd line up on the road. I liked that part. I didn't have to sit in the cold ground. And he said, when they turn the dogs loose, the dogs are going to chase the deer through the woods, and you get ready, because when one jumps out, then you pop him. I like that. Now here's this idea. That back in the olden days, first of all, if you can imagine this trophy buck, this trophy deer, this huge antler, a deer, he is just resting at ease in the thickets. He's back down in the holler, and his scent has been given off on the leaves. And in the olden days, they do this two ways. First of all, they have a bloodhound. And the bloodhound would go out and sniff out the scent of the deer. And once they found the scent of the deer, then that fellow would go back to the master, the Lord, or whatever, and they would get the pack of dogs, which were smaller than the bloodhound, and yet much faster, and usually at least 20 of these hounds to go after that deer. Now visualize this. This big, massive buck is nestled down in the thicket. He's given off his scent. The bloodhound has come in. He's picked it. They turn around. They go back to the pack of dogs. And they go back to the master. And they turn these 20, at least 20 hounds loose to go out. And all of a sudden you can hear the sound of the hounds as they're after the pursuit of this buck. And the buck hears the sound of the hounds coming. He jumps up and begins to run with all of his might. But these hounds are relentless. These hounds are after him. They smell his scent. And everywhere that he touches a leaf, everywhere he touches a branch, every step of his foot, the hounds are on his trail. And their goal is to destroy him, is to capture him, is to kill him. He's running and running and running as hard as he can run. And then it looks like there's no hope in sight. It looks like he's a goner. It looks like these hounds are going to overtake him. They're going to kill him. But then just in the clearing, he comes to a stream. Not just any stream, but a wide stream. He comes to a body of water. And that deer that's being pursued by those hounds has but one escape, and that is to plunge into the water, to lose the scent behind him. And as that deer jumps into the water, instead of coming out on the other side, he turns and goes with that stream. The water covers his scent. He's safe. Because now when the dogs do finally pursue him, they get to the edge of the water, they no longer can find him, because he has now found safety in the midst of the water. Now he is safe from the attacks of the hounds. Now he is on his way home, and he just kind of floats down the river, so to speak. And in fact, from what I read, at times he would even submerge himself and just stick his nose up, get a gulp of air, and he's floating down the river away from the hounds. I believe David had that in mind when he wrote this. I'm going to give you four hounds of hell that's on your trail. Four hounds that the devil has unleashed on you. And by the way, you say, preacher, what do you mean? I don't follow you so far. When this deer, if you could imagine this deer as you and I, as David would imagine this deer, the hounds are after him. The hounds are pursuing him. The hounds want to kill him and destroy him. The only hope, the only rescue is the water. And beloved, right here is the water. There are two times that the Bible, there's two things about water. One, still water and rushing water. Still water has to do with the Word itself. Rushing water has to do with the Holy Spirit. May I say to you in the very beginning of this is that the only hope of safety for you and for me is found right here. This world cannot give it to us. Your job cannot give you that security. Listen, medical science cannot give that to you. Our hope is found in the Lord Jesus. Our hope is found in the Word of God. And David said, when the enemies have come up against me, when the hounds of hell have pursued me, the only hope that I can find, the only rest that I can find is right here in God's Word. Fourth hounds, number one. There's a hound of doubt. Satan will sick this hound on you. He'll sick it on everybody that's a child of God. There's a hound of doubt that is pursuing you. You will at times question, even David here in Psalm 42. There are times that you will question God. There are times that you may even blame God for the things that happen to you in your life. You are not alone. The hound of hell, of doubt, is on your trail. He is trying to overtake you. He is trying to destroy you. He is trying to defeat you. The hound of doubt is seeking you out. You're not the only one. Write this verse down, Matthew 11, verse 2 and 3. John the Baptist. You remember John the Baptist, don't you? I mean, how many of you remember John the Baptist and that day that John was baptizing in Jordan, and all of a sudden Jesus appeared and John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Y'all remember that, John? Say amen. Matthew chapter 11, there's a John now, the same John the Baptist, but now he's in prison. He's locked up. Here's the man that looked and said, "Here's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Here's the man that introduced the Lord Jesus as he stepped out. Here's the man that said, "Here is the Lord Jesus Christ." But now in Matthew chapter 11, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, "Art thou he that should come, or should we look for another?" John began to doubt. I mean, listen, when he was in prison, he began to doubt whether or not this Jesus is really the true Christ. I mean, he is the Lamb of God, but things wasn't looking so good for John. In fact, John ended up with his head severed from his body. The hound of doubt had come into John. And my friend, the only escape when doubts begin to arise and fears dismay is for you and I. It doesn't matter from the pulpit to the last pew. The only hope that you and I can ever have is found right here in the Word of God. It's not going to be found in reading People magazine. It's not going to be found in watching television. It's going to be found right here in God's Word. And until we learn that, until we saturate ourselves with that, Sister Gail, until we get in, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I would ask you, how much time did you spend this week reading, studying the Word of God compared to the amount of time you watch television? I'm not going to ask you to say it out loud, but how much time? How much time? Is there any wonder why that Christians today are living a defeated, a discouraged life? Is there any reason, any wonder today why folks today are out of church and they're turning to pleasure? They're turning to everything else to satisfy the longing. Oh, my friend, can I say something? That you've got to plunge in the Word of God. It's got to be our refuge. It's got to be our strength. It's got to be our source of supply. Without that, the hound of hell will overtake you. Number two, there's a hound of discouragement. The hounds of hell are on your trail. The hound of doubt, the hound of discouragement. Everybody faces discouragement. David was discouraged when he wrote Psalm 42. By the way, David was about 55 years of age when he wrote Psalm 42. Have you ever noticed this? That it seems like there is middle age crisis, middle life crisis, you want to call it. Hello? Y'all know what I'm talking about. And some of you hadn't got there yet. But oftentimes when folk get into that middle life, and I'm talking about like 45, 55, somewhere thereabouts in those years, all of a sudden they get very discouraged. Things aren't working out. Their IRA isn't making enough money. They get a job layoff. health begins to deteriorate. All of a sudden now you're dealing with two families. You're dealing with your mom and daddy, and you're dealing with your own home situation. And discouragement sets in. You're not the only one. I find David was discouraged. Elijah was discouraged. Great man of God. A great man that called fire down from heaven. A great man that said it's not going to rain till I say it's going to rain. But you read the word of God, and Elijah was discouraged and under the juniper tree wishing that God would kill him. You're going to face discouragement. The hound of discouragement. Discouragement comes when you listen to the enemy. Discouragement comes when you listen to the enemy more than listening to the word of God. Discouragement comes when you are physically and mentally exhausted. It happened to Elijah. You read the account of when he was on the mount, and the fire came down, Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal were slain, and he had a great victory on Mount Carmel. But the next chapter you read about Elijah, he's sitting under a juniper tree, down and out and discouraged and wishing to die. You know what he'd done? He had spent so much of himself. He had exhausted himself that he got discouraged. And friend, it'll happen to you and I. When you're going and going and going and going and going all the time, and I mean you're putting out fires here and you're trying to do this here and you're trying to do that there, friend, mark it down, you can get discouraged. What's the only hope? The only hope is plunge beneath the water. Get in the Word of God. Take time. I mean, listen, we get so busy sometime. Would you be honest with me? Well, don't we get so busy sometime? We say, hey, I'll read my Bible at the end of the day, and then you're so worn out and so tired and so give out. Then you say, oh, I can't do it tonight. I'll fall asleep, or I do fall asleep. Well, hey, listen, the only hope, the only rescue, the only safety is right here in the precious, precious Word of God. The hound of discouragement, number three. And before I read this one, would you, while you're in the book of Psalm, would you turn over to Psalm 103 for a minute? Would you, if you've got a Bible, at least rustle the pages, make me think you're turning, if you're not. But Psalm 103, and I'm going to ask you a question in just a minute. I'm going to tell you this hound, the third hound, and there's only four, so just hang on. The hound of disease. The hound of disease. Now, Psalm 103, verse 3. Hey, those of you have your Bibles open. Those of you that will, read this with me, would you please, out loud. I'm going to start you, but I want to hear you read this, and I'm going to stop you in the middle of the verse, but start this out with me. Now, read this with me, Psalm 103, verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquity? Stop right there. Stop right there. Does not the Bible here say God will forgive us of all our sins? Amen? You agree with me on that? Have I got you on that one? I mean, you say, yeah, that's what the book says, isn't it? Let's read the next part. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and read this with me, who what? Healeth all thy diseases. Oh, that's where we have a problem. Now, if all there in verse 3, if all means all, that means all, doesn't it? Now, listen to me. I am not promoting a healing line. I'm not promoting that somebody come by and bump you on the head and knock you out. And I'm not promoting that. But I am saying this. According to this verse, if we believe that God Almighty can forgive us of all our sins, can we not believe that God Almighty can heal us of all disease? Amen. I'm not being Pentecostal. I'm not trying to be something I'm not. I'm a Baptist. But son, I believe that book. Now I believe this too. Now listen to me. I believe this. Is that there's some diseases that we bring on ourselves. And let's just be honest about it. I mean, son, I'll be the first to tell you, I love pork. Praise God. Amen. I mean, not barbecue. I liked that last night. Took 2 full pounds home with me. I had sausage this morning. I like country ham. But I also took my blood pressure pill this morning. Say amen right there. Now, I know, listen to me, I'm no dummy. I may look that way, but I'm no dummy. I know that it's not the best thing for you. Amen. Now, listen to me. You say, well, you shouldn't be. Hey, I'm just being honest with you. There's something we can bring on ourselves, ain't there? Amen. I mean, I can't blame God and say, well, Lord, you said you'd heal me of all them diseases. You'd heal me of that blood pressure. And then I'm going to go out and sit down and just have me two or three pieces of bacon and some sausage and a side of tenderloin with that. Say amen. You know, here's what I'm saying to you. If we can believe that he is the God that will heal us, that will save us and deliver us from all sin, can we not believe that he is the same God that can heal us from all disease? Amen. I'm preaching the Bible. I'm not, hey, it's our lack of faith. I mean, the Bible said in the book of James, if there's any sick among you, if there's any afflicted, let him call for the elders of the church. And he said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick and it shall raise him up, my friend. Our lack of faith is what's causing many times for people to have those diseases. It wasn't God's will. It wasn't God's intention. But my friend, it gives God an opportunity to work in our lives. Amen. Read what the devil is a master of, one who wants to destroy this temple of ours. And he'll use what he can to destroy it. I mean, listen, my friend, if it's some habit, if it's something that you're doing that's destroying this body of ours, the devil and the hounds of hell are on your trail. He wants to destroy you. He wants to wreck you. He wants to ruin you. But thank God, greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. Here's what the book said, Exodus 15:26. And the Lord said, and if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Can we not get back to that? Amen. I read a book recently, and listen, I'm just going to tell you what this person said in the book. And it was a good book, too. But they had a medical condition. You know what they did? They said, before I went to the doctor, I called the church and I asked for prayer. Wouldn't that be great? Say amen. I mean, let's be honest about this thing. We'll trust what the doctor says before we'll trust. Hey, why wouldn't it be great if we have a prayer band, and when somebody says, look, I'm facing surgery, I'm facing disease, I'm facing this, I'm facing that. Hey, I believe there's a God in heaven that can heal from all diseases. Amen. Our lack of faith. What's the cure? What's the remedy? When we plunge beneath that, and when we get to this old blessed book again, and we feast upon it, and we'll say, Lord, I stand on the promises of God. They are all yea and amen. I believe what this book says, regardless of what doctors may say, regardless of what science may say, I believe what you've said. I could tell you stories this morning. I'm not, but I know of situations that only God could have done it. I know of people that were diagnosed with cancer, and then they go back to the doctor and they say, we can't find a thing. Why is it? The prayer of faith shall save the sick. I said there's four, there's actually five, so I give them to you. Number four, there's a hound of destruction. The hound of hell of destruction. Satan's out to destroy you. Can you hear me this morning? He's out to destroy your happy home. Anything that God has designed, he's out to destroy it. He's out to destroy your family. He's out to destroy your life. The hound of hell is on your trail. One of Satan's names in the book of Revelation is Apollyon, and that means destroyer or destruction. Can I tell you something this morning? If you hadn't figured it out already, the devil is not your friend. The devil is after you. He's after your wife. He's after your husband. He's after your children. Young folks, let me tell you, thank God for those little ones. Can I tell you something? The devil is after each one of those little children up here today. He wants him. He wants to ruin them. He wants to wreck their lives. And friend, how can we defeat him? It's through the blessed word of the living God. Amen. This world's got an attraction. It'll pull our young people. It's like a sewer. It'll suck them right down. And if you've got children, oh, would to God, every mom and every daddy, every grandparent would be on this altar and be praying for them on a daily basis when they go to school, when they're faced with an ungodly environment, when they're faced with peer pressure, when they're faced with other people mocking them and ridiculing them, when they're faced with all kind of stuff out there in the world. We've got to pray and put our heads around them and say, oh, God, protect them. For the devil wants to destroy your kids just like he wants to destroy mine and my grandkids and your grandkids. Last of all, the hound of death. That hound has been on your trail ever since you got born. But we need not fear, for the Lord has conquered even death. Death has been on my trail ever since July the 27th, 1955. For the first breath that I took, the hound of death has been on my trail. Can I be as bold to say this? How many of you believe that God has angels for our protection? Amen. Can I be as bold to say this to you? How many of you believe that you need a divine protection from one of God's angels? You see, the hound of death is on your trail. And I believe this, Brawley, I believe this. The devil would like to try to kill me, but I believe that God has protected me. I don't believe there's nothing happened to me by accident. Oh, I got news for you now. I mean, if you come poking around 11, 12 o'clock at night, you might tote some lead away, amen? But now, help the Lord out a little bit, say amen right there. But now, here's what I believe. I believe that the angels of God encamp around them that fear Him. I could tell you some stories. I believe this. I mean, oh, listen. Driving as many miles as I've driven, I don't know how many I've driven over the course of these years that I've been saved, and y'all know I live an hour from here. But just up and down the highway, and I looked at Brenda this morning, that the car we got out yonder, we got it in March a year ago, and I've already put over 40 some thousand miles on it in just a little over a year. That's just one. Well, that's okay. But I know this. I believe that God has protected me along the way. I don't believe there's nothing happened to me by accident. I don't believe there's chance. I don't believe it. It's like one little boy come to Brother Mays one time, and he had a you don't see them nowadays. The PETA's probably done away with them, but y'all remember them Lucky Rabbit's Foot? Huh? How many of y'all remember them? Little boy come to Brother Mays one time. He said, Brother Mays, you're going to rub my little Lucky Rabbit's foot? Mays looked at him and said, it wasn't so lucky for that rabbit, was it? I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in horoscopes. I don't believe in, but I believe there is one that controls my destiny, and He's prepared. It's appointed unto men once to die. How do you get rid of this hound? Jesus has conquered death, hell, and the grave. Aren't you glad for that? And if you don't know Him this morning, you need to know Him, because that hound is on your trail. I said this morning in the prayer room, we've got Brother Nathan's funeral this afternoon. I say this, I've preached many funerals over my 40 some years. They're never easy, but it is easier when somebody knows Christ. It's easy when you walk into a home and they know the Lord, and there's sadness, but there's joy. Hey, I got news for you. When it comes my time to go, thank God, I believe the Lord will just let me usher into the presence of Him. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Thank God. How you get that hound off of you? Plunge beneath the Word of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Remember that story I told you at the beginning? Remember that deer being chased by the dogs? Remember as he's running through the woods, he's hot, he's tired, he's just about spent, he can't do anything else. He's exhausted. There's no more that he can do. He can't outrun these 20 pack of dogs. They're going to bear down on him. Death is imminent. Death is for certain. All that he can do, he finds the water, jumps in the water. He's free. He's free. He's safe. The only thing you can do this morning, you can plunge right there and find safety.